Talking about the judge, in this case, the judge, the Court of Claims judge, Cynthia Stevens, who on Friday heard oral arguments for about an hour and a half. And this threw me. There was a video feed available of this that I clicked on. And again, we've been living this way for 2 months, but I still expected to see a courtroom and attorneys arguing in front of the judge. But no, of course it was done by Zoom. But you had the attorneys for the governor and for the state legislature arguing over whether or not the governor has the power to issue these emergency orders. And of course, nothing was solved. This was just a hearing. This will likely get bounced up to the Supreme Court, is what the judge said.
Yeah, it'll probably have to go to the state Supreme Court. And even if a decision was made in the Michigan Court of Claims, it would probably end up in the state Supreme Court, mm-hmm. with one of the sides choosing to appeal, I would assume. So what we're looking at here is still the heart of the matter. Since the beginning of this, are these two different emergency powers acts. You have the 45, which is called the EPGA, Emergency Powers Act, and then you have the one from the 70s, which is the EMA, the Emergency Management Act. And the real, in my opinion, the whole crux of this case depends on these two acts and how they are implemented. And what we heard in those opening arguments on Friday is a distinct difference in interpretation, not necessarily if one supersedes the other. However, that is part of it. But the other one is what defines an emergency versus a disaster.
Yeah.
That was very key. So the difference between having a state of emergency and a disaster, and which one is one more localized, as a disaster, a local event that, yes, you don't need to have the governor do it because a disaster is localized, confined to this one specific area of the state, versus maybe an emergency, which could be a whole statewide state of emergency. So that's kind of one of the arguments being made, is that, hey, the broad powers under the Governor's Emergency Powers Act in 1945, that doesn't include legislative approval, but it was never intended to be used on a statewide basis. So that's one of the arguments being made by the state legislature there. So that's very... That's a very new development, and it has a lot to do with trying to interpret these laws that were written by people who are long dead, to be honest. So it's going to be that's the reason why courts exist. That's why there's judicial review, sure. is to try to interpret what the original intent was. Was this intended to be used in this statewide scenario like we're seeing with the coronavirus pandemic? Or was this more used to be a local, small area, maybe affected by a tornado or flooding or something, and not used for a pandemic?
Well, I don't think anybody could have really seen a situation like this coming in terms of something that we knew, you know, was going to be a long-term statewide situation. And so because this is such a unique circumstance, I think it is going to take court intervention to determine whether or not the governor does have what the attorney for the Republican legislature said was effectively limitless power for as long as the governor wishes. That's the concern of the legislature, is that the governor is just using an unlimited amount of power for an unlimited amount of time. So
I do think that should be a concern for everyone.
Sure.
Regardless of what party, of course you should be worried about unlimited or unchecked power, no matter what side you're on. And even if it's for the best of intents, which goes back to, I think the governor, I don't think she's on a power trip. I don't think she's drunk on authority. I think she genuinely thinks she's doing what's best for the state. But what she thinks is best for the state doesn't necessarily mean it is in fact what's best for the state, and especially without having the input of the state legislature, it's hard to make a very strong case that she, in fact, is speaking for every resident of Michigan, and that, yeah, you know, and it's very clear that not everyone agrees with her. So even though that her intents might be good, there is a very real question there on whether or not she has a power. And this came to I really learned on Friday that I think the legislature has a very strong argument here, not to overturn everything, but I think that things issued after April 30th, which is when that deadline ended and the legislature did not choose to renew it, I think any executive orders extended or issued after April 30th are in very, it's a very gray area. I'm not sure if those are going to hold up.
Well, I don't know how swiftly this is going to move along. Obviously, the current round of orders, save for a few that go into June, and that would be like state parks and things like that. But most everything is set to expire May 28th. That would be the end of next week. And so I don't know how quickly this is going to move through the courts. But it is an interesting, compelling case, one that will have implications for 49 other states, too. I think everybody's going to be looking at this Michigan case to see how it pans out and what their governors are allowed to do. Although this is kind of specific to the Michigan Constitution.
It is just state law, though. It is just state law. So, different states have different Emergency Powers Act. So this is really just reviewing the Michigan ones. But look, if let's say that this gets thrown out, in fact, all of the executive orders that have been issued or extended after April 30th get tossed out and said, nope, these are unconstitutional because the state legislature did not extend the state of emergency. That gives quite a bit of power to the protesters, which I think have very little to do with this whole incident. But it does give them quite a bit of power. And I think you might see more, maybe some more uprisings, more protests in other states across the country as a result, saying, hey, look at what the people in Michigan did. So you might see maybe some more backlash nationwide. It could provide a little more fuel for that if they do get overturned. But these are strictly dealing with the state's constitution and laws that have been enacted by the state legislature, but they've been enacted so long ago. The 1945 Act. No one is alive, I would assume, from the state legislature who originally passed that. So it's really up to the courts to decide what their best intent was. And I think the issue really is coming down to is this Emergency Powers Act for a acute, narrow emergency within the state, or can you use it for an indefinite statewide state of emergency?
Well, that's the issue, and so we'll have to wait and see what the judge has to say about it.
And if not, it's going to need legislative approval, and under the 1970s Act, you have to get the legislature to get on board. And man, the governor and the legislature are on such shaky ground at the minute. I can't see them getting any sort of compromise done. So I would say that if this, in fact, if the courts side with the Republicans in the legislature, this is a big blow to the Whitmer administration, and it's not good news for the governor. It's just not.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll be watching that and see what the next steps are. A transcript of that hearing should be available tomorrow, and that's about all that we know about that.